Welcome to Family Talk.
No archaeological sources that could prove this took place.
We have no evidence.
If people are telling us that there was no Jericho at the time that Joshua conquered the Promised Land, and therefore Joshua is a piece of fiction, and therefore the conquest is a piece of fiction, why don't we ask the simple question, when was Jericho destroyed?
In terms of reconstructing ancient history, a lot hinges on the answers.
The clip you just heard is from the new documentary, Patterns of Evidence, which looks specifically at the historical evidence for the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. It's true as far as reconstructing ancient history goes, so much depends on the exodus, yet experts seem to indicate there's no archaeological proof that the exodus even happened. Today we're going to explore that dilemma in more detail. Hello everyone, welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to hear the conclusion of an interview conducted by Dr. Meg Meeker at the International Christian Retail Show in Orlando, Florida. In just a moment, she'll continue her conversation with Tim Mahoney about his powerful documentary that presents the archaeological evidence for the biblical account of the Exodus. Tim Mahoney is an expert storyteller and filmmaker who has created many videos, including several for Billy Graham and his organization. His latest film is titled Patterns of Evidence, Exodus, and is available everywhere, including Walmart. In fact, the reason we're airing this program in August is because Walmart has rolled out the documentary in their stores, which means this is the best and easiest opportunity for you to pick up a copy. Not only will this film strengthen your faith, but it will also provide many opportunities to talk with your friends and family about how archaeology proves the accuracy and reliability of the Bible. In just a moment, we'll get to the interview about this film, but before we do, let me take 30 seconds to share with you about an exclusive opportunity only available for the month of August. For any donation of $30 or more, we'll say thank you by sending you my dad's most popular book, Dare to Discipline, along with a corresponding DVD from our Building a Family Legacy film series. To take advantage of this exclusive offer, give today by calling us at 877-732-6825 or by clicking the tab at the top of drjamesdobson.org. Now let's get to the program. Here is Dr. Meg Meeker as she begins the conclusion of our program with Tim Mahoney on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
So before you finished the film, you didn't know how this was going to turn out.
No.
You didn't have the end of the story that, oh yeah, I collected all this evidence and here it is. So you were literally sort of living this as you're filming it.
Right.
Trying to find out. This truly is your journey and your discovery.
The risk of it all was that it could be false. And I think people know that the honesty of it. Some people have said halfway through the film, I wasn't sure which way this was going to go.
Well, probably at that point you weren't either.
Yeah, because, yeah. And that's okay. Because you know what it does? Is it makes it really honest. Mm-hmm. Because, and I've talked with different people, different scholars, they said, you know what? We have to be willing to risk that. Because otherwise, why believe a fairy tale?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
But here's the truth, is that these other scholars are saying that it's a fairy tale. And so I said, okay, on the grounds of your scholarship, let's put that down on the table. Tell me everything you know, why you think it's a fairy tale. And tell me what evidence that we have. Now let's look for it in archaeology from all the research that's there. And I documented that and I told the biblical story. And I said, but why is it that this all this evidence is matching hand in glove mm-hmm. the story of arrival with the multiplication, with the slavery, mm-hmm. it's all matching. With the judgment of Egypt, there's documents that match
that. Do you
think
they could have said, well, you're making it match?
You can't, as one archaeologist said, you can't plant the evidence in the ground.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is, I'm more like an attorney, in the sense that I'm showing you evidence that's already been, I didn't actually manufacture any of it. All I've done is present it in an organized fashion. And I think that once we asked that question and we said, what are the five elements we're going to look for to answer that question? Here's my case. And before the audience, before a large audience of believers or non-believers, I'm going to give you testimonies of different parties. Mm-hmm. And in the course of this film, you're going to listen to both sides. And I'm going to say to the audience, you can decide.
Was that hard for you?
Actually, once I did it, I thought, well, first question was, can I do this? Do mm-hmm. I dare do this?
Yeah, do I dare, yeah.
And then once I got comfortable with it and comfortable being in that middle position, it became easier.
Well, this is a huge issue of faith for you because you really were leaning on the truth of God, and that God would reveal truth, and you needed it done. Because you did not want to put out a film that found no evidence and then you lead more people astray.
Right.
I mean, that would be a tough thing to do. Let's go back to the series of events. We've got the Israelites arriving. We've got them moving into slavery. You knew that because you found people who were buried who were poorer than people prior to that. And then what?
Well, it says that in the Bible that there's this baby that was born. And that, you know, the Bible tells the story of Moses, and that Moses is seen as a special child, and he's raised in the courts of Pharaoh. And now we haven't found any evidence matching Moses, but we have found is the story of when he comes back. It says that there was plagues that came about. And there's been a document that I was interested in Holland. And my wife Jill and I went to Holland and interviewed the curator at the Leiden Museum. And we talked about that document. He knew I was there. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that the plagues mirror that document. The Bible says that take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground, on the dry ground. And the water you take from the Nile will become blood on the ground. That's Exodus 4th chapter, verse 9. Ippor says, "Behold, Egypt is fallen to the pouring of water, and he who poured water on the ground seizes the mighty in misery."
And this is from what? What did you call
this? This is from Ippor.
Okay.
And what is the admonitions of an Egyptian sage.
Okay.
So there's a document.
So that was written around the time it was happening?
It's written much earlier. And what we start to see in the film is that there's these events that show up earlier in Egypt's history that continue to match each sequence. The arrival is where it's supposed to be.
Wow.
The multiplication is where it's supposed to be. The slavery. In other words, the sequence of this happening in the archaeology of Egypt matches the Bible.
Even the plagues.
Right. And everyone has known that it sounds like that. But because they're looking at this other time of 1250 and the time of Ramses, they go, yeah, can't be it. Mm. It's not connected.
Okay.
But the film exposes, as you get down towards the film, well, why is that? We start to see some things that are very interesting.
Mm. So does it reveal other evidence of other plagues as well?
Well, the Bible says, and all the water in the Nile was turned to blood. And the fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad the Egyptians could not drink water from it. That's in Exodus chapter 7. And Ippor says, the river is blood. If you drink of it, you lose your humanity and thirst for water.
Mm.
So these different elements, it says, the Bible says, and that would be the water turning to blood.
Yes.
Another one is, the Bible says, all the Egyptian livestock died. Lightning struck the earth, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. The flax and the barley were destroyed. That's in Exodus chapter 9. So that's part of the plagues. And Ippor writes, gone is the barley of abundance. Food supplies are running short. The nobles hunger and suffer. Those who had shelter are in the dark of the storm.
Wow. What language was that written in?
Well, it would have been in hieroglyphics.
Okay.
A form of hieroglyphics. I'm not sure which one it was in. And it was written in a style that they know it happened in the Middle Kingdom.
So they can date it pretty accurately because of the style. Yeah.
I think that the document that they had was a copy of something that the young children were using to write.
Okay.
And this was a book of wisdom saying, listen, don't ever do this or bad things are going to happen to you. It's poetic. And that's the conversation that we have. And it's in the film and it's in the book as well.
Okay.
This conversation about these, is there any connection here?
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a powerful scene that people really need to see.
Yeah. How long is the film?
The film is a 2-hour feature film.
Wow.
And it's robust in that, but it's my journey. In other words, I knew that some people needed to have the humanity of it.
Yeah.
So it's me going through, going to these locations.
Well, I think that's very important from an artistic standpoint, too, because it really draws people in. Because we want to find out what you found out. And we want to be first person. So we want to be in your shoes.
That's right.
Yeah. Walking through that. What happened to the Hebrews after the Exodus? Do you know? Do we know? I mean, archaeologically, evidence-wise?
Well, when we made this film, we know that when they left Egypt, they went and they were supposed to go to the mountain of God where Moses was at the burning bush. They were supposed to go there. And on the way there, they got trapped at a sea, and the Egyptians pursued them. That particular part of the story was so big in our investigation that we held off telling that part. Which way did they go? What mountain did they go to? And what happened at that mountain? That's the next film that we're going to be working on.
Oh.
So you're
working on it now?
Yes.
We've had
gathering footage of that for a long time. And so we've been very, very involved with that. But the bigger question is, what happened at that mountain that changed history?
Right.
And it says that God made a covenant at that mountain with Israel. And it not only says that, but that he gave these laws that people have adapted to and that basically shaped Western civilization. And so these ideas of what happened, what is liberty and where does it come from and what does liberty actually mean, we're going to explore that.
Mm. And that's in your next film.
That's in the next
film. Are you finding evidence for what really happened? Well, any evidence that is lining up with what we believe is biblical truth?
I guess the short answer is yes, or we wouldn't be able to make a film. I think that
you were on your way to making a film, whether you're going to find the evidence or not, right?
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
So
it's the journey, not always the end result.
Right.
And I didn't start out, by the way, with a presupposition that we're going to. I wanted to make this as clearly. Let's let the evidence speak for itself.
It's got to be truthful.
Film one, which is Patterns of Evidence, the Exodus, has amazing patterns that match the story. Now, we're not done. That's version 1.0. Mm-hmm. There might be that there'll be revisions or something in the future as more evidence comes. Film two, which working title is Patterns of Evidence, Moses, will be Which Way Did They Go? It'll deal with miracles. Can God part water? Some people say, well, God can only part water that's so deep. I don't know how, it's too deep for God to part water.
Okay.
So the question is, does God part water? Does God exist even for some people? And, what mountain did they go to and what happened at that mountain?
Mm-hmm.
What really happened? Because there's an incredible amount of, I don't know if you know this, but Jefferson, the whole issue of parting the water, Jefferson wanted that to be the seal of America.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he wanted the Israelites, parting the sea to be the seal. And I find these things fascinating, mm-hmm. the references, looking back on it.
Yes. How has making this film over 12 years changed you as a man?
I think that the changes that I've felt is that there's been a discipline. I have had to become a thinker. I've had to wrestle with ideas. And I think that good communicators have to figure out a way to communicate, boil things down to the main idea.
Mm-hmm.
What is the big idea? And I think that the discipline of going through this process has helped me to become a thinker.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to realize that actually everybody should be a thinker.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, this film says it's a crisis of faith. You never know where a crisis of faith will lead you. I believe that here's what I've learned is that from the very beginning of the story that we have, like, who are we? Where did we come from?
Right.
Why are we here? Begins with Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And in the very beginning, there's a story about two characters, Adam and Eve. And God tells them, here's the place you can live, but there's one thing you can't do, and that's to eat from this tree. And another character comes into the story, which is known as Satan, mm-hmm. as a serpent. And the very first question they ask is, did God really tell you?
Right.
And so what's interesting, I started to realize, was this question of, is God's word true?
Mm-hmm.
Began at the Garden of Eden. And when we see in the New Testament, when Jesus is first meets this same character again, the very questions he raises is the question of God's word. Is God's word true?
Is it true? Yeah.
Each time he said, do this or do that, and Jesus would respond differently. I think the biggest crisis that we're faced with right now is this question, is this word true?
Mm-hmm.
These things really happen? We're at a crisis right now of credibility. Are the events of the Bible, did they really happen?
Well, particularly since Christians are touted as non-thinking people. We just accept things by faith. We don't have to think. We just, you know, and it's an experience, and Christianity is an experience, but we have to have evidence, and that will, you know, and that will help. And so that struggle, that question is really the question you were asking throughout the making of the film. Is it true? Is it true? Is it true?
Right.
And the angst that comes with that, because you may learn that it isn't true. You became a thinker, you say, from doing the movie, but then you wrote a book.
Right.
And the book is Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus. Why did you write a book?
Well, first of all, there's just so much that we started to uncover. Mm-hmm. Once you take this discipline of actually thinking, and I think that faith and reason are two things that actually are a part of the same idea. I mean, you can have faith and reason. They're both together. You need to have both of them together. And the book was that there was so much more that needed to be said that helped to build the case that we didn't have time. And I also wanted to give people that had opposing, you know, ideas more time so that you're going to hear their reasons why they don't believe or why they don't think these things happen, mm-hmm. as well as other really, really good reasons and more information that you never heard before.
So you expose it all, don't you?
Well, we're trying, yes, absolutely, to try to give a more, a better account so that actually the critical thinking of this can be a part of a person's life. And I think that that's what I've learned, is that all of us are underusing our ability to be critical thinkers.
Yes.
And that we need to do that.
Well, and I think we're kind of going in the wrong direction too, because we're just, you know, communication has changed so much, and we think in sound bites, and we brand things and people, and we don't, many times, aren't willing to go deeper and look into issues. We just look at thoughts and brands. But this is really a very scholarly text. Mm-hmm. Your books. I mean, it's quite a big book. It's 400 some pages, correct?
Oh, it's almost 400 pages.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Almost 400 pages. Yeah. Does part of you want, is this a movie that Christians should see, that non-believers should see? Is this a Christian film, or is it a film that should be widely available? Well, it will be widely available to everyone. Who do you think are going to be the most likely viewers?
What's interesting is this film actually works really well with everybody, in the sense that it's not a Christian film, mm-hmm. but it's probably it's probably more biblical than a lot of other films, because it's investigating the story. And what has worked really well, when we played it in film festivals and we've shown it to atheists, we went to this one local theater where we live, and we in the uptown area, mm-hmm. and we showed it. We had about 75 people come for a free showing, and they filled out the survey, who they are and whatever. Mm-hmm. And the results were fascinating. But 9 out of 10 atheists, and had some agnostics in there, gave the film good to excellent rating.
Really?
And would recommend it to their friends.
Wow.
Because of the approach. Mm-hmm. The film, it has a neutrality to it. Christians love that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Because right now they feel it actually makes the film more powerful. The film has become very, very powerful because of its balance. Not only that, but there have been very, very few investigative films that don't feel biased. Mm-hmm. And this film, I've tried, and I'm not saying that some people might say, oh, I wish you didn't give me enough time to complete my whole argument and everything. Well, films have to be entertaining as well, and they've got to move on. We can't get caught in an eddy of somebody's theory.
Right.
So we move the idea and its principle along. And if somebody couldn't communicate their principle in the time we gave them, then their idea was not that simple or easy to comprehend.
Right.
And so basically, but the audience, by the way, took it in, and it works really well. And I'll tell you what Christians have felt. First of all, I think Christians, there's three groups. Christians love this film because it helps to encourage them that there's a historical credibility to their faith. Number two, their children are going to go off to school. And one of the things that's fascinating and right now, horribly fascinating in a bad way, is that the universities now are the killing fields of Christianity. Why is that? Because a lot of people don't have any backup. They don't have a clarity about their historical faith. And they go off and they're just told by the history people or the archaeology people that none of this happened.
Right.
And they come back and they say, Mom, Dad, I don't believe in this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm an atheist.
The stories couldn't be true. you can't prove it. We don't have the evidence. So I'm going to choose to think a different way.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's a very dangerous thing. But so that this is so wonderful that we have this film. I mean, you know, and my hope and prayer is that God will bless it and it'll get into the far reaches of the earth. And that it will get into every college campus in America, which is what we really, where we really need it to be.
I'll say one other thing about this is that everybody has somebody in their family who's a skeptic or whatever. This film is a fantastic gift because it's got a thinking component to it, mm-hmm. and it's entertaining in that way.
Yeah.
It's a very visual story. It's got many things. Well, there are many threads woven into this, but this film, for those people, is a fantastic place to start to get back to having a conversation.
Yeah.
So if you got an uncle or an aunt or a son or whatever, a lot of people are pretty confident in their doubt that the Bible is true. Well, what ends up we've seen is it banks their confidence. They start to doubt their confidence.
Right.
Because this film built such a great case.
Well, they get pushed against a wall and say, you know, prove it. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? And now you can say this is the evidence. And I love the way you described it. It's a cross between CSI and what?
It's a CSI and CSI meets the Bible.
CSI meets the Bible.
Oh, how
there
about
you
that?
Go. I mean, and the Bible's so entertaining, but I just love it, love it, love it, because we have so many kids, young people, young adults coming out of colleges that just are being fed only one side of the story, and they have no evidence. Mm-hmm. They just want to harp on how we don't have any evidence. My guest today has been Tim Mahoney. He is the writer, producer, director of Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus.
Yes, and you can find more information about this at www.patternsofevidence.com.
Patternsofevidence.com. You can find out about the DVD.
Where to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Where to buy it, and you can find out about the book as well. This has just been a wonderful, wonderful time, and I thank you so much for hanging in there. I thank you for taking 12 years and for finding Egyptologist number 2.
Absolutely.
And reading that book. Praise God for him. I don't know his name, but I'm very, very grateful because he kept you on this path and going back to Egypt and digging. And you've done a tremendous amount of work and a lot of hard work. And I look forward to seeing Moses.
Absolutely.
Patterns of Evidence, Moses' life.
That's right. Right.
Yeah, and I hope when you do that, I hope you'll come back again and talk to us.
I'll just say one other thing. We are making another version of this called Young Explorers. Patterns of Evidence, Young Explorers. We're in the middle of filming it, and that's for families, with kids, and homeschool.
Wonderful. Kids down to what age?
Probably, I don't know, third grade.
Okay.
Fourth grade.
Wow.
Up to junior high. So this has been working really well. And churches can actually get the copy of this and have it as a movie event.
Wonderful.
With a panel discussion. And
great
then
idea.
And curriculum will come
pastors,
after that.
Pastors, this is so important. You can't underestimate the power of the academic institutions that pick up where you left off when students go off to college, or even when students are in schools and they're not taught about the Bible. It's so important. So make an event night at your church. Go buy this DVD, this movie, and show it to your entire congregation and equip your people with the evidence that Tim Mahoney has found out, which is just rock solid, ironclad. Thank you so much. It's been great, Tim.
Thank you too, Meg.
Let me tell you, this really is an excellent documentary, one that you don't want to miss. Tim Mahoney talked with some of the smartest people in the field of archaeology to put this together, and my faith has been strengthened by this film. I know yours will be as well. We've been listening to the conclusion of an interview between Dr. Meg Meeker and Tim Mahoney here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and like I mentioned at the top of the program, Mr. Mahoney's documentary is currently available in Walmart for the rest of this month. Go pick up a copy, buy some early Christmas presents for your friends and family, and enjoy a powerful film that will strengthen your faith in God and the Bible. For more information, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Before we sign off for the day, let me remind you of the special offer I mentioned at the top of the program. For any donation of $30 or more, we'll say thank you by sending you my dad's most popular book, Dare to Discipline, along with a corresponding DVD from our Building a Family Legacy film series. To take advantage of this exclusive offer, Give today by calling us at 877-732-6825 or by clicking the tab at the top of drjamesdobson.org. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi everyone, Dr. Meg Meeker here. Are you on the go without much time to log into all of your social media pages? Twitter is a great way for staying informed on the things that matter to you with just a quick look at your phone. Follow Dr. James Dobson, FT, and receive great tips, resources, and information that is important to you in short and simple tweets. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson, capital F, capital T.